Hey everyone, it's Clarissa here from the Thriving Through Menopause podcast. You know, as I talk to women around the world, I know that more than ever, we're looking for holistic ways to manage our menopause and to feel empowered that we're in control of our own health and healing during this vital life transition. I sit down each week with amazing guests to talk about ideas, strategies, approaches, and opportunities to help us thrive through menopause. Episodes drop every Tuesday, so I hope that you'll join us. And I have a little request for you, that if you find value from the stories, lessons, and wisdom that we share, I'd like you to support this podcast. One way you can do that is to hop on to wherever you listen to podcasts and like and subscribe and share it so that others can hear the messages too. You might want to buy me a coffee to help me keep this podcast up and running. And I'd love you to subscribe to my newsletter, Heart of Menopause, over on Substack. Don't forget, episodes drop every Tuesday, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being part of this community, listening to this podcast, and I hope that you enjoy the new content that's coming up in this new season. Welcome to this week's episode of Thriving Through Menopause with me, Clarissa. And we're going to be talking about homeopathy and also about tapping in to our higher selves, because those things are just as important. Of course, homeopathy is a great healing modality that we haven't talked about on the podcast. And I am delighted to be joined by Tahila Aloni, who is a homeopath. She is also the founder of Bioergonomy, and she works with extrasensory business coaching guidance for women. Welcome, Tahila.
Thank you, Clarissa. It's a pleasure to be here. Just a small. I'm the founder of Bioergonomy for Business, and not the founder of Bioergonomy, which is an extrasensory method of a diagnosis and healing.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that one. But you've had a long history and extensive knowledge of working with spiritual practices and NLP. And you've also been involved with judo, haven't you, at a very high level, so women's sport.
Yes, I used to be the national Israeli judo champion for 7 years running when I was young.
Wow. Wow. So you bring all that kind of knowledge, that East-West knowledge, don't you, into your work?
Yes, I love integrating knowledge. I think it's amazing. I think God built this universe with such amazing diversity. And I think each one of us has a unique light to bring into this world. So there's so much to learn from everyone and so much that each one of us can bring.
Yeah, that's very, very true that we can do that. And I think that's that blending is really what I often believe makes the breakthrough for many of my clients and many of my listeners, that there isn't one way that's the right way, but this sort of sense of when we weave together what we need.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's so important to take a holistic approach to life and to problem solving.
Yeah, indeed. So one of the areas I know that you work a lot with is homeopathy. And homeopathy and menopause is interesting. It doesn't get talked about as much as, say, herbal medicine or acupuncture. But just talk a little bit about homeopathy, because sometimes my listeners may not know that much about it. For me, growing up in the UK, and in fact, I'll share a little story before we dive in, that my grandfather was very into homeopathy. And I actually have the original book that he used with homeopathic remedies and the notes. And it's like 120 plus years old. So I grew up with homeopathy, but I know it's not as common or as widespread as it maybe once was. But tell us a little bit more about homeopathy and what
First
it
of
really
all,
can do.
I'm so excited to hear that you come from a homeopathic background. I think it's such a privilege to be exposed to homeopathy from such a young age. So I love homeopathy. I can talk about it all day. But I'll try to make it short for the listeners. So homeopathy is a form of alternative medicine. It has four main principles. The first one is like cures like, meaning that a certain substance which can create symptoms in a healthy person can actually cure those same symptoms in a sick person. For example, we have a remedy called Apis, which is from a bee. And, you know, if you're stung by a bee, so usually the sting, it's your skin becomes hot, red, and swollen. So we would give Apis, first of all, to people, for example, women who are suffering from menopause, and they're always hot, and they're very irritable, and might also be jealous, and they feel all swollen and bloated. And that might be a good remedy for them. That's just a very simplistic example. Yeah. So the first principle is like cures like. The second principle is minimum dose. We always try to give the minimum dose needed. In fact, homeopathic remedies are diluted many times. You take the original substance, for example, it could be salt, a grain of salt, and you dilute it many times until you have the potent-sized salt. So science is only now discovering that homeopathic remedies, they're actually conduct light and electricity differently. Although there isn't even one molecule of the original substance in the homeopathic remedy. Now, most people say, oh, it's a placebo, but it's not. First of all, there was a time in the UK where I understood that 70%, that almost 75% of the homeopathic remedies went to treat animals. And I like I always say, I've never met a cow who believed in what she was given.
No.
So homeopathy is used today in agriculture and in the veterinary field. So that's the second principle, is the minimum dose. The third principle is individualization. What does that mean? If we have 10 women suffering from different menopausal symptoms, each woman will get a different homeopathic remedy based on her symptoms, based on her character, her nature, her constitution, her environment. And that basically brings us to the fourth principle, which is treating the person as a whole. What does that mean? We don't treat the symptoms. People tell me, do you treat headaches? And I always say, no, I don't treat headaches. I treat people suffering from headaches. And that's a huge difference, because we treat the person as a whole. We take into account all the symptoms, including the mental, emotional, and physical symptoms, because we're actually spiritual beings. That's the way we say it. We're spiritual beings, first of all. And what we see here is our material, I'd say, I come from Israel, so that I'm just trying to find the word. It's like our spirit has gelled into our physical existence. So basically, it's when we want to, there's no point in treating the results. It's like if we have, imagine you've got a light bulb and you have some dirt on the light bulb. And then you see the shadow of that dirt on the floor. So you can be rubbing the floor, trying to clean the shadow, but there's no point. You have to reach the source. You have to clean the dirt from the light bulb. And that's what homeopathy does. We go to the core. And then, because the way we see it, the physical, emotional, and mental symptoms are just the results of a spiritual imbalance.
And I think those are really, really important points, and very different from how Western medicine sees disease or the manifestation of unwellness or imbalance. And I really love this minimum dose. And what you said was that even though the actual, you couldn't measure that there was any substance left, it was still there. And I think I draw a lot of parallels from my Qigong work, where we do, you know, we touch parts of the body and we say, well, even if, you know, you've had a hysterectomy, the energetic imprint of your womb still remains. And so you're working with that energetically, even though it isn't physically there. And that feels to me like a parallel with a minimum dose, that energetically the substance is still there, isn't it?
Totally. It's like, I'd say, the spiritual signature. And like I say, people tend to think that it's a pseudoscience, but there is a huge amount of research which backs up the result. And like I say, it's proven that it's not a placebo. So I'm always amazed to see the results. Like, people tell me, I have this woman that I've been working, she's 65 now, we've been working together for the past 15 years. In the beginning, she used to tell me, I'm suffering from this, that, et cetera, et cetera. I used to give her a remedy, and she used to call me, listen, I feel so much better. Do you think it's a remedy? And every time I used to tell her, well, I suppose it is, because before you took the remedy, you weren't feeling well. Now you take the remedy, you're feeling better. So I suppose it is a remedy. Now, 15 years later, it's already a joke. She calls me, listen, I took the remedy and I'm feeling so much better. And I tell her, you think it's the remedy?
That's so great. That is so great. But I also really love this sense of treating us as individuals. Because, you know, again, we can all show up with similar symptoms. But when we go back, as you're saying, the root cause is different. So I think that is, we tend to think, oh, I treat the symptom the same for everybody. But that simply isn't the truth, is it? Because we are all so individual. And that's our whole makeup, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, as a homeopath, what we're trying to do is identify the pattern that's off, so to speak. You know, the way a hologram works is that in every piece of the hologram, you can see the whole. Okay. Mm-hmm. And just like when you do a blood test, you take a small sample of blood, but you can see the whole. And there's iridology and so many different schools that basically see the whole in the part. Okay. Yeah. And the whole idea is that each one of us has a pattern that keeps repeating in our lives. And I'll give an example. For example, if we take a woman and she lost her family in a car accident at a very young age, and today she's suffering from menopausal symptoms, and she's got rheumatoid arthritis, and she's got a very strong sense of justice. And on the other hand, so she's described as very, very controlling on the one hand. On the other hand, when she sleeps in the night, she suffers from incontinence. So she's got involuntary urination. So if we look at this, at the pattern of this woman, if I were to simplify it, so we see it's all about control versus lack of control. Okay, so she couldn't control the loss of a family at a very young age. So she became very controlling in order to try to control reality. And you see that she's got arthritis and her fingers and her joints are becoming very hard and inflexible, because that's part of being controlling. On the other hand, when she sleeps and her subconscious is working, she's losing control. She's urinating. Yeah. Okay? And when we identify this pattern, when we hear her entire story, her life story, and when we look at her, all the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms, once we identify this pattern, we say, okay, which substance, which remedy, that's what we call a homeopathic remedy, has this pattern and can cure this pattern. So in this case, this woman would receive a remedy called causticum, which has this pattern of control versus lack of control. And then we see that not only does she not suffer anymore from the menopausal symptoms, but we see her joints are becoming more flexible. She's becoming more flexible in her thought. She doesn't have the involuntary urination anymore, because we treated the cause. And then we see that the system, once we actually stimulate the system to cure itself, we're reminding it, basically, and we just see that everything falls into place.
Yeah, I think that such a great example there, Tahila, and really going to that emotional side that many of us may even have, we're not consciously aware of that, are we? That's in our subconscious, working and playing out in the way in which we behave, or the way in which our body is responding. It's fascinating. And I think that also tells the importance of our life stories for what's happening in menopause, that it isn't just this moment in time, but that it's really connected to the whole of who we are. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. Because if we say that we're actually, everything's, it's all about frequencies. So if we say the soul has a certain frequency, and it's the same frequency, but it becomes more and more dense. Now, this, it becomes more dense on the emotional plane, and it becomes even more dense and manifests on the physical plane. So we want to take everything into account, because at the end of the day, we want to help people live the highest potential of their being.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. And I think that's the goal of every practitioner as well, isn't it? That we want not just the symptoms moving on, but actually the person to be lifted up and living the best that they can. Definitely.
Exactly. Because you see, each one of us is here for a reason. And the way I see it, what we go through in life, especially the challenges, whether they're physical, mental, or emotional, usually I don't really think that you can actually separate the three, okay? I think that the way I see it, all these challenges are there in order for us to develop our unique skill set. And that unique skill set is what we're here to bring into the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think each of us has a purpose here on this earth, that we have the right to bring out and to share with the world and to bring to service to the world.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, well, the way I understand it, the happier we are, let me put this in, the more we are aligned with the purpose of our soul, the happier and healthier we are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think we're beginning. I think the funny thing is we've known that for millennia, but now science is kind of saying, oh, yes, purpose really matters, especially as you get older and thinking, you know, and they talk a lot about in the aging world, they talk a lot about purpose and how important it is to prevent, you know, these chronic illnesses that we get as we age. And we're thinking, we've kind of known that our soul, our whole being needs to have a reason for being. And when it's not there, that's when we can feel unwell. We are hastening to an earlier departure from this world.
I agree. And also, I'd like to add also that abundance is not only monetary. Abundance is being healthy and happy and having good relationships. And that's what God wants for us. The thing is that we have to evolve and rise up to our calling, our vocation. And then we get, I'd say, the positive feedback from the universe. Because what's the point of getting positive feedback if you're on the wrong path?
Well, exactly. If you're not on your path, then I think we just don't feel well. We don't feel abundant. And I think that happens to a lot of people. They're disconnected from their purpose, or they don't even know their purpose. I think it sort of makes me call to mind the Japanese concept of ikigai, which has got so many dimensions to it in order for us to feel, you know, I don't know, at the top, the best we can be. Are you looking for balance, inner harmony, a sense of well-being without needing to resort to quick fixes or medication-only approaches? Well, you're not alone. Clear guidance on how to thrive through menopause is hard to come by, and it's scattered all over the place. But my new book, Beyond Hormones, 7 Holistic Ways to Thrive Through Menopause, is a beacon for women. We're not just offering coping mechanisms, but practical pathways to manage perimenopause and menopause holistically. So if you're looking for a scientifically backed yet digestible guide to thriving through menopause, look no further. The book is available everywhere that you can buy books.
I agree. I work with lots of businesswomen around the world, because the way I see it, when your business thrives, or let me put it this way, when you're thriving, your business thrives. Your business is your baby. Your baby's doing well, you're doing well. If your baby's not doing well, you're not sleeping in the night. So the business is a direct extension of who you are. Now, I always remember this lovely quote from Joseph Campbell, and he says, there are many people that spend their lives climbing a ladder only to find out that they've leaned it against the wrong wall.
That sounds like so tough, you know. But we can move the ladder, you know. It's a bit like I say to a lot of people, you know, you don't like this, you don't like that. Well, we're not a tree. We can get up and move. Like here, we can move the ladder and lean it on anymore. Thank God, yes.
But the thing is that as you climb this ladder, it gives you, there's feedback on every step you take up this ladder. There's feedback. The universe gives you feedback. And on the one hand, there's a saying that, you know, life is like riding a bicycle. If it's difficult, then you know that you're going upwards, which is good. So on the one hand, there's that quote. On the other hand, it's about being connected to your higher self, learning to read the signs. Are you on the right path? And if not, having the courage, and it takes a lot of courage to, first of all, admit to yourself that maybe you've made a few wrong choices and to make a change.
Yeah. And this is a really great segue into the other side of your work. So on the one hand, I know you're using homeopathy with your clients as on one level to get to the root cause, but you work a lot with your extrasensory perception and the bioergonomy, but for business. Tell me a little bit more about bioergonomy and what it actually is, because people may not even be familiar with it, let alone what it means for women in business.
Yeah, so bioergonomy is something that not many people know. The thing is, as soon as I discovered it, I was like, wow, I've been waiting with my entire life. It was just like the electric socket, you know, I just like felt like the plug was going into the socket. I'm like, yes. So it's basically, it's an extrasensory technique. And like many spiritual schools of thought, the basic premise is that everything has energy fields, whether it's a person, a plant, an animal, a business, a bank account, a relationship. Now, these energy fields, they nurture and support their subject. If these energy fields are disrupted, that's when we start seeing problems. Okay, note first the energy fields become disrupted, then these problems are reflected in the, I'd say, the physical plane. So what I do in bioergonomy, first of all, I use my eyelids, being one of the most sensitive muscles in the body, as indicators. So I might say, okay, if the answer is yes, so my eyelids will flicker. If the answer is no, my eyelid will flicker when I do a certain motion with my hands. So if I want to, for instance, I want to check the energy fields, and I can see that a woman can come to me and I can see that her energy fields are off. So first of all, I'd use bioergonomy to fix those energy fields. Now, if this woman comes with menopausal symptoms, then I can also check her hormonal system and check, you know, the pituitary gland or various glands, that, and I see that these are usually also off. So I check various systems in the body, and first of all, I make sure that everything has energy fields. Now, if this woman happens to have a business, we go on to the next level. Now, what I've noticed is that first of all, women used to come to me for homeopathic remedies who were businesswomen and they suffered from different physical symptoms, and I'd give them a homeopathic remedy which would treat the whole, and I would see that once they got a good homeopathic remedy, they were also making more money because they were aligned. Yeah. And I call homeopathy the passive income. So you're taking a homeopathic remedy and you get the passive income. But the next thing we have to check using bioergonomy, that's the extrasensory technique, is that if all interests are aligned, what does that mean? If we want to have something drawn into our life, we have to send a coherent message into the universe. Now, most career women who are also mothers know that a coherent message when it comes to raising children and having a career and a business, usually, I'd say, involves a lot of guilt. And once you've got guilt, then you don't send a coherent message to the universe. Yeah. So we want to, first of all, have a coherent message within ourselves, sending a coherent message to the universe within ourselves. And the next thing I noticed, which was very interesting, I have this woman that I work with, and she's got a cosmetic oil company. And she didn't understand why this company wasn't making money. And when I checked using Bioergonomy, I noticed that the husband wasn't making a lot of money at the time. And he was threatened by a success. So what I suggested based on Bioergonomy was to make him feel that he was part of the business, ask his opinion, make him feel that he was important to the business. And once she did that, not only was her business making more money, their relationship improved because their interests were aligned. Yes. So when you have a business, and in everything in life that you actually want to manifest, you have to make sure that all the key stakeholders, whether it's in the business or people surrounding you, have the same intentions. Now, the best way to do that is if you have the highest intention, if you hold the highest intention in your mindset and you want the best for everyone, then it's very easy to have everyone's interests aligned because you're coming from a very, very high place.
Yeah, I think that's so fascinating. And I love that you touched on guilt there because I see that this guilt aspect. I would come back to that for a minute. But, you know, a lot of women are carrying that with them, particularly, I think, as they go into perimenopause, menopause, we're suddenly not able to do all the things that we think we should do, not necessarily that we want to do or are able. And they suddenly think, oh, I'm a really bad mother. I'm a really bad partner because I can't do all the things that I want to. And I think the way that you talk about that in helping them to overcome that on multiple levels through homeopathy, through the work you do and the Bioergonomy really shows that, you know, manifestation and shifting our consciousness can make a huge difference to how we feel and therefore how everybody else feels in the relationship.
I agree. I don't believe in hard work. I believe in focus work, which yes. is very much like Qigong. Qigong is always, I used to do Qigong for about 15 years. It's all about minimum effort and the most results.
Yes.
And what I love about homeopathy and energetic work is because once you work with a deeper level, you're not working with the conscious. When you have to talk about problems and you keep on thinking that you have to solve a problem, you have to fight a problem, you have to deal with a problem, you're focusing on the problem. And when you use tools which straight away go to the subconscious, things are effortless. So life has enough challenges as it is.
Yeah.
And if there are shortcuts that, you know, the universe provides for us, I'm all for that. And I love homeopathy because things just change. It's amazing because when you touch the core, you manage to make a huge difference and with minimum effort. I keep on telling people, look, homeopathy doesn't require any change in your lifestyle. And, you know, even when people want to lose weight, you don't have to look on the menu that your nutritionist put on the fridge, you know, that your nutritionist gave you and you've stuck with magnets on the fridge. The whole idea is that the healthier you are, the more balanced you are, you naturally desire the things that are good for you. Yeah. One of the indications of someone that's sick, I say, is that their desires are not aligned with their needs. So the healthier you get, the more you have an alignment with what you need and what you desire and with your environment. For example, if you have someone who's diabetic and they want sugar, and sugar is actually the worst thing for them. That's just an indication of how unbalanced they are. So when someone takes a homeopathic remedy, what I want to see is what I also hear is that I've been trying to do a diet for 20 years and change my nutrition, and finally I'm doing it and it's easy for me. Or I've wanted to exercise for so long and now I'm doing it and it comes naturally, because when you're healthy, you desire things that are good for you. That's part of being healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. On every level as well, Tahila. So that's not just on the physical, but we seek that on an emotional level in our relationships. It flows through to everything. There was an interesting thing also that you said, that when we focus on the problems, that just exacerbates the problem in many ways. It's a like with like. And I think there is in menopause a big emphasis on talking about the danger and the disease and the you know, how it's decaying you as a person. And I've always personally fought back against that and said positive mindset, thinking about the transformative nature is really positive. And when you put that in homeopathic terms, energetic terms, that obviously feels so much more aligned to where we want to be, rather than all the time talking about the horrific journey that you're having, horrific people, other people are having. It's just, you know, makes intuitive sense to focus on the positive without being, you know, ignoring challenge.
You know, I'm reminded of a story about, I think it was Mother Teresa. And they told her, listen, we're doing this protest against war, or we've got a movement against war. Would you like to join us? And she said, no, I don't want to join a movement which is against war. I want to join a movement that's for peace. So it's very important, because our subconscious doesn't recognize the verb. It recognizes the noun. So if you're against something, if you're constantly fighting something, you're just giving it power. Yes. So it's focusing on just what I remember when I was riding a bicycle, and it was there were lots of stones and rocks on the path, on the trail. And this my partner was telling me, listen, focus on where you want to get to. Don't focus on all the obstacles on the way. And I thought, wow, that's a very good advice for life.
That is definitely a really great advice. I think advice for life in general and anywhere you are in your stage of life. If someone was to come to you and they say, got all these menopausal issues, my life, I feel sort of up, down, roller coaster. I mean, what sort of steps would you want to work with them through to get them balanced?
Well, it all depends. If it's not a businesswoman,
yeah.
So I'd work only with a homeopathy.
Yeah.
So I take the homeopathic case, which means that I want to hear her entire life story, mm-hmm. and all the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms that she suffers from now and has suffered from during her entire life. Mm-hmm. Usually, I also like to know about the birth and the pregnancy, but at that age, usually the mother's not always available to answer.
No.
but I find that's it's also a part of our journey, and it's always interesting to see, by the way, how the pregnancy is reflected in the person's life, and I usually see that with children. So I take all the symptoms, and then I want to identify the pattern, like the pattern we spoke about with that woman, yes. with the control versus lack of control, and find a homeopathic remedy that addresses that pattern. Once I find this homeopathic remedy, God willing, because it's all due to, you know, I feel that we are all vessels, and if we have a good intention, what the universe bestows that knowledge on us.
Yes.
I order that homeopathic remedy from a pharmacy near wherever that woman lives, because I work with women around the world.
Yes.
And she starts taking it on a regular basis. Now, I always say a homeopathic remedy is like when you tune a musical instrument. You're constantly changing how you're taking the homeopathic remedy and what remedy you're taking based on what goes on. It's not that we don't just like throw hormones at the woman and tell her good luck with that.
No.
So it's basically a journey. And I'm there to hold each woman's hand along that journey and support her, because we need support, and it needs that fine tuning constantly as the journey goes.
Yeah. And then obviously if they have a business, then that would be the additional work with your extrasensory perception.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, bioergonomy is also good for working with personal issues, but because I have a very extensive business background and I love business, I'm also the CEO of an access control company. And so I've taken my expertise to work with businesswomen.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. Tahila, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about the work that you do?
Thank you. I have a website. It's called bioforbiz.com. It's bio4 biz.com. By the way, in that at that website, there's a quiz for businesswomen, for them to measure their intuition, because I think it's very, very important that women use their intuition. I see that women that use their intuition make much better choices. And I've built that quiz in a way that not only measures your intuition, but the way I've built it is a way that already, by taking that quiz, that already enhances your intuition. So I encourage the woman here to take that quiz and to contact me. I think the way I see it, the world of business is basically the densest place. When it comes to business and money, that's the darkest place in the universe.
Yeah.
Because that's where I'd say that's the most selfish place. And my whole aim is to, once you infuse that place with spirituality and light and you raise that place, you raise the consciousness of the entire world.
Yes. Yes. That is fantastic. Jayla, we are going to put your details in the show notes, so that I hope that listeners here who have been inspired to learn more about your work, maybe are curious about bioergonomy, maybe they're curious about homeopathy, can reach out and learn more from you, maybe work with you. And thank you for coming here and sharing a snapshot of what is really a very big and deep series of subjects. Thank you.
Thank you, Clarissa. I think it's so important what you do here, that you explain to women that basically menopause, women are just like wine. We go through stages in life, and old wine is good wine. It's just knowing how to treat the vessel properly. So I love what you do, and I really appreciate you having me here and you having this amazing platform for women.
Oh, thank you so much for your kind words. Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode with a snapshot into homeopathy with Tahila. You can hear her passion around this subject and maybe want to explore just a little bit more about how homeopathy might be one of your support pillars to thrive through menopause. Next week, we're back to basics on menopause symptoms and the role of hormone therapy and lifestyle when I'm joined by Dr. Kat Brown from Winona. So do stay tuned for what is sometimes good, a refresher of what we should know, what's important. And sometimes, as according to Dr. Kat, celebrities are not the best place for you to tap into knowledge about menopause. Until next week, go well.